Welcome to week 5 of the Red Letter Challenge. As a church, we have entered into this 40-day challenge to put the words of Jesus into practice. Many of us are following along in our workbooks every day, and others are still joining in our small groups every week as we're learning about what Jesus said and putting it into practice. We've noticed through the study so far that much of what Jesus calls and commands and asks us, his followers, to do could be summarized under 5 key principles. And it's these 5 key principles that we are studying through this challenge. It's these 5 key principles that we're shooting for as disciples of Jesus. And I think by now you're starting to understand these 5 principles. So if you remember them, would you say them with me? There's being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. So far in the first 3 weeks, we've looked at the first 3 principles, and this week we're diving into principle number 4, giving. Now, the number one topic that Jesus talked about when he was on earth, when he was teaching us, when he was having his earthly ministry, was the topic of the kingdom of God. And that shouldn't surprise us. He came to teach us about the kingdom of God. But what might be surprising is the second most topic that he talked about. Are you ready? It's money. Considering how often Jesus talks about money and giving, the writer of the Red Letter Challenge, his name is Pastor Zach Zender, he says this: I'm convinced it's impossible to be a stingy Christian. We have to truly follow Jesus means that we have to learn to be truly generous. There's a story that's recorded in 2 of the 4 Gospels. It's recorded in Mark and Luke, and we're going to read the Mark one in a moment. And it's a story about a generous woman who had lost her husband, who it turns out seems to be quite poor, but she continued to live a life of faith and generosity. So if you want to follow with me, and we're going to read in Mark chapter 12, and we find these words. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So, what happens here just prior to this story? Jesus has been in the synagogue area and he's been teaching. And actually, the Jewish leaders have come and the teachers, and they've tried to, like they've done so many times before, trip him up, catch him somehow, test him. But like always, they're unsuccessful. There's nothing they could say that really trips ever Jesus up. And so he does this, and after a while they leave. And then this story takes place, and we're told that Jesus seems to take a break, and he goes and he sits down in the temple area near where the offerings were being deposited. Now, in that time, in Jesus's day, in the temple, there would have been probably in a few places, but at least in one place, there would have been these deposit boxes, some type of container where people could come and bring their tithe and their offerings and place them there in the temple. Now, Jesus goes and he sits down to rest, probably, and he goes to sit, and he sits where he could see what's happening. Now, I don't think for a moment that this happened by chance. See, Jesus never did anything by chance. The word tells us that he always did what the Father led him to do, go where the Father sent him and say what the Father tells him. And that's probably a really good lesson for us to learn. But that's what Jesus done. So he's gone here, he's watching the people come and put their offerings in the deposit boxes. How would you feel if Jesus were sitting there always watching you put your tithe and offering? Would it change how you gave? Would it change the posture of your heart when you gave? Would it change maybe your amount? See, Jesus is watching, and he does notice, but he notices our heart, because that's what's happening here. Many rich people are coming, and they're depositing, it says, they're depositing large amounts, but notice those large amounts didn't excite Jesus. You and I, we get excited about large amounts, but Jesus wasn't. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't pleased with any of the large offerings or that we don't need them. The fact is we need all kinds of offerings, big and small. But the point of the story is not the large gifts, as necessary as they may be. The point of the story is the principle that's at work here. Because then we're told, contrasting these rich men who come with large offerings, we're told about a poor widow that comes to the deposit box. She puts in, the Bible says, 2 small copper coins worth only a few cents. The coins that she gave were probably the smallest denomination of coins available in her day. They would have been called leptons. Each one was worth only 1/128th. So 1/128th of a day's wages. In her day, those 2 coins would have only purchased a handful of flour. That's how little it was. Just enough to maybe survive partially on a meal. For us today, in our equivalency, it would probably be less than a toonie, less than $2. The widow's gift was notable because of the extreme sacrifice it required. Jesus said she gave it all. In fact, it is so important that here we are, millenniums later, and we're still talking about 2 small coins. And Jesus said this, she put more than all the others. Now, there's no way that she numerically gave more than anybody else. There's no way her check, so to speak, had a bigger dollar amount than anybody else's that day. The fact is, her dollar amount was probably the smallest offering of the day, but Jesus said she gave more than all the others. So what is Jesus trying to say? What is the point that he is making? I think Jesus is telling us it's not the dollar amount that matters. It's the step of faith that matters. It's the point that you give God what you have in faith, trusting that he will help you with the rest. See, Jesus isn't talking about the monetary value of her gift. He's talking about the sacrificial value of her offering. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. It's the step of faith that God is measuring. It's what Jesus sees when he says she gave more, because she gave almost everything, if not everything, she had. Maybe that's why our Bible and the biblical principles of tithing are key here. We're taught in the Bible that our tithe means 10%, that 10% of our income belongs to God. It's not a dollar value. It changes for every one of us. It's a percentage. It's the same percent. It's the equal sacrifice for everyone. It's not the equal amount. And so that's why probably God is teaching us that 10% belongs to him, because God is watching for the value of our heart. Are we willing to give God what belongs to him, our tithe, our 10%? Just as a note, 10% is the tithe, 10% of our income. Our offering is anything above the tithe. So if we don't give the tithe, what we give is not an offering until we give the tithe. That's just a tidbit of teaching. Will you give him your obedience and faith? See, this story shows us that God invites us into a life of sacrificial generosity. This woman gave all that she had. Giving and generosity shows where your trust and faith is. Just because just because everyone else around you is building their own little kingdom in this world doesn't mean it's the right thing for you to do. Now, I'm not against prosperity. I'm not against anybody having nice things, especially if you work hard for it or if they're a wonderful gift to you. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe God can and does want to bless you. But here's where I think we get confused. We think our wants are blessings. Where God sees our wants as wants and God knows what we need as a blessing. And many times God takes us above what we need and blesses us sometimes beyond just what we need because he's a loving father. Now, you cannot truly go all in for God if you cannot trust God with all of your money. I believe tithing and giving today could be the number one indicator of a growing faith in Jesus Christ. Because if he's got your money, he's got your heart. That's what Jesus said. He said it in Luke chapter 12, verse 34. He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And here's the great thing about being generous, especially when it comes to your finances. Zach Zender, who I mentioned before, the writer of this challenge, he'll say this in your small group video this week. Your money goes places that you can't. Let me say that again. Your money goes places that you can't. And it does things that you don't even know are possible. A little earlier today, you heard about our update on our benevolence and food bank giving and how your giving and how the giving of many peoples come together. You don't always know what your part of the story plays, but when your part is added with everybody else's, many lives, many homes, many families, many people are touched. And you heard that during COVID, that you have touched more lives during COVID between March and the end of October than you have touched throughout all of 2019 through our food bank program. And so if you've given to that, if you've partnered with that, if you've sowed money into that, if you've brought food supplies and stuff in to restock the food bank, I need you to know that your little bit of sacrifice combined with everybody else's has made a huge difference. You never know where your money is going to go and who it's going to touch. See, when you live a generous life, your money goes places. It's part of making a difference in someone else's life. Your gift combined with the gifts of others makes differences for many people. When we all give sacrificially, even a little bit each, the result is often huge. Now, if you aren't a regular giver, if you don't tithe, I want to challenge you today. Not me personally. I want the Word of God to challenge you, but I'm going to share with you what the Word says. In fact, the Red Letter Challenge this week is going to challenge you to become a more generous person. And I hope you don't shy away from it or be afraid of it. I say jump in. Go full-heartedly for it. I mean, last week we talked about serving. It's great to serve, to use your hands and your feet and do things and go places. And that is part of our focus. But this week we're going to move that focus to our money. And it's not just that I want to challenge you, but I want you to hear what God challenges you with. God says this. Actually, God says about your finances, test me. It's the only time God ever said that. Test me. Those words are found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. God said, bring the whole tithe, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me. There it is. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And one of the things that Jesus tells his followers, that's you and I, is not to neglect the tithe. In Matthew 23, 23, Jesus said this, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. See, Jesus encourages us to bring the tithe. He talks about how precise they were. They brought a tithe, a tenth of every possible little herb even. They were so good at that, but they failed to live in justice and mercy and faithfulness. Jesus says you need to do both. It's not one or, it's both and. See, in the Old Testament, people gave out of obedience to the law. And how much more generous should we be, seeing we are living after the cross and we're living after the time of law? We have received the grace of God and the love of Jesus. We should be giving out of a gratitude to God for what he's done for us so that we could come alongside him and build the kingdom of God. So, what would this look like for you today? Well, practically, start by looking at your budget. Start by looking at your expenses. If you don't have a budget, you might want to make one. You don't have to. It's just a suggestion. I'm not here to tell you how to run your home. I'm here to just teach you the principles of tithing and offering and giving. See, but a budget's important because if you make a budget, you can put your tithe into your budget. And then you've given the first fruits, the first 10% to God, and you have the rest of the money to budget off of. And a budget will also help you know where your money is going, what your expenses are, and it'll show you your giving pattern. If you don't have a budget, that's okay. I mean, go into your bank account. Pull up your bank account for the last year. See how much have you given to God? How much have you sown generously? How much have you given maybe sacrificially? Your bank account will tell you all kinds of things about where your money is going. So, but here's my challenge to you, out of Malachi, out of Matthew. If you have never tithed or given regularly, then start. But I want you to start with prayer. I don't want you to start with your checkbook. I want you to start with prayer and the Word. I want you to maybe go back and read some of the scripture I've shared with you today. I want you to open the Bible and read it for yourself. I want you to say, God, show me where you want me to be in this. Show me what it is that you want to say to me. Show me how you want me to give my finances over to you for your glory and for your kingdom's purposes. I encourage you to put your giving and your generosity, put it into a place that's trustworthy, a mission that's good, one that advances God's kingdom. Of course, I'm going to be honest and say, if you have nowhere to give, give to Highway. I'm going to be honest because I believe that we do some good missions. We partner with some really good missionaries. We partner with our own food bank. We partner with our own benevolence ministry. We've got the Christmas drive coming up. You can partner with us. Not only can you serve in places and through places at Highway, but you can give to Highway. See, we give because God gave to us. The most famous verse in the Bible, I told you last week, was John 3:16, or one of the most famous. And many of you know it, but it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. See, God showed his love for us by giving us his Son. And Jesus showed his love for us by giving up his life and dying on the cross for us. A couple weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness, how we need to receive the forgiveness of God for the sins in our lives, how we need to understand who Jesus is, believe what Jesus said, and believe that he died on the cross and resurrected 3 days later for us, for me, personally for you. Jesus loves you, and He went to the cross to show you his love and to give you the opportunity of forgiveness and eternal life in the kingdom of God forever. And if you want to know God, if you want to accept eternal life, if you want to have the forgiveness of sins, you need to basically believe that Jesus is who Jesus said. Do the things that Jesus taught. That's what we're doing in this red letter challenge. And ask Jesus to come and forgive you of your sin and to help you walk as a follower, a believer, a Christian, a disciple of Jesus. Now, we want to help you on this spiritual journey of yours. And so you can reach out to us and let us know and simply pick up your phone and just text us. And text the number 416-267-1189 and text the word love. Just put one word in there, love. A bunch of prompts will come and just follow them, and then we will be back in touch with you because we want to help you on your spiritual journey of following Jesus. So God showed his love for us by giving us his son, and Jesus showed his love for us by dying on the cross and giving his life. See, when God sent Jesus, his one and only son, into the world, God went all in for you and I. If talking about money, if you'd put it this way, God cleared the bank account. He spent it all for you and I so that we would be without any debt for all of eternity. So when we give, we reflect the heart and character of God. We give because God gave. And giving like Jesus will definitely change you. But why not? Let's do what Jesus has told us to do. When we learn to give even sacrificially, then we're doing what Jesus said. Yes, I'll be honest, sometimes it hurts to give. I mean, sometimes we've been saving money maybe for a special item we want to buy, and God speaks that spend all of it or most of it or half of it or whatever. And we go, but it hurts. It's okay. You'll have opportunity to save again. Be obedient. Do what Jesus asks you to do, because you will find that your life will have more fulfillment in obeying God than ignoring God. It's always better to follow Jesus rather than ourselves. Again, it's impossible to be a stingy Christian. In the coming weeks, we'll be beginning our Christmas drive here at Highway. We want to be a blessing to the people in our community. And I'm anticipating, I haven't really sat down on paper this, but I'm anticipating if the numbers for the food bank have already surpassed last year's and just these COVID months, I am expecting that our Christmas drive will have to touch more families than we normally have in the past. And so we're going to need everybody to just give a little, because remember, your money goes places that you can't. So as you work through the Red Letter Challenge this week, please consider what God would have you respond to Jesus' teaching about giving. Let's not be stingy Christians. Let's pray.